Hello and welcome back to another episode of the HRER podcast, where we delve into the world of HR emergencies and scandals. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to HRER on your favourite podcast platform.
Get ready for scandalous stories, lessons learned, and a generous dose of advice for HR professionals for navigating the HR landscape.
Our goal here is not just to entertain, but also to help you learn from the topics we touch on in order to save your business from its own emergency.
Vitamin D hasn't got out to do with going sleeping too much, has it?
What have they been doing for 2 to 3 years?
Absolutely.
Well, this has been going on.
What emergency measures can HR departments take to prevent these types of things happening in the future?
I'd say the wider question is actually, is it capability or is it disciplinary?
Is this a health issue or a performance issue? Do employees have to make reasonable adjustments? And is this perhaps discrimination? You've got to be really curious, haven't you?
You have to. You have to explore all areas to fully understand it before you can make a decision, because our decisions affect people's lives.
Just before we start, protect your business from the risk of tribunal, reduce legal costs, and save yourself from HR headaches with our Heroes software and employment law consultancy services.
I feel weird. I feel I'm not the epicenter of the episode, am I?
That being centre of attention, yeah,
no.
I feel like this is a good starting point. Yeah, and the reason why you're not centre of attention is we have Michelle with us
Michelle's
again.
Michelle's with us again.
I feel like we've messed up.
Hi.
So Michelle from the HR advice team is with us to help us with this week's question.
Today's topic is how to deal with a colleague who constantly falls asleep.
I mean, constantly, I feel like we're over-egging this. I don't think this is a case of someone who's got, is it narcolepsy, where they walk, like, you know, someone could literally be walking along and, like, bang, falling asleep.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as extreme as that, but it's a nice catch.
Yeah, we've got to get the viewers in, haven't we?
So off you go, Ollie. Tell us what we're talking about.
Let's go. Hi, Alyssa. I'm seeking guidance regarding a situation with a member of our office staff that has raised operational and workplace concerns. I would appreciate your advice on appropriate next steps. Over the past 2 to 3 years, it has been observed Dave regularly falls asleep during working hours for periods ranging from 30 minutes to 1.5 hours each day. Dave's immediate manager is aware of this pattern, but has not formally addressed it. A bit of background, the colleague underwent a medical checkup approximately 2 months ago, which identified a vitamin D deficiency. They are taking supplements. However, the pattern of falling asleep at work continues. Vitamin D hasn't got out to do with going sleeping too much, has it?
Oh, I don't know. Are you a doctor?
I'm not.
First thing I've done, and you know what? That's probably something that someone would ring up and say. And I'd go, oh, who told you that?
It's not that.
Captain Google?
I don't know.
Yeah?
I don't know. I'm playing devil's advocate.
I mean, I don't know. My first impression with this one, I'm sure Michelle will back me up with this, is where they say, it's not been formally addressed, but this has been an issue for 2 to 3 years. What have they been doing for 2 to 3 years?
Absolutely.
Well, this
nothing.
Has been going on. Absolutely nothing. Well, I mean, clearly Dave's been doing nothing as well because he's falling asleep at work. But this has not been addressed. They've let this go on for 2 to 3 years before they get to the point where they go, you know what, today's the day. We're going to ring Alyssa today and sort this out. So yeah, what are your first impressions, Michelle?
First impressions being that we'd need to understand the reasons why. I think we'd need a documented conversation around, you know, what's going on in the world of home and work. So, and health. So is there a reason for it? Because you never know. There could be disruptions in the home life. Maybe a new baby, maybe a new pet. Who knows? I've just recently having a puppy. I know what it's like to have sleepless nights. He's whining to get out and he doesn't actually want to go anywhere or do anything.
She's worked out how to get company in the middle of the night.
Oh, she has.
That's what she's done.
And if my husband tries to get up, she growls at him. Oh. Albeit that she's the size of a small cat. But she growls at him. So
she has trained you to get up in the night, give her company and make sure that it's you and not your husband.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She sounds pretty switched on.
Smart. Take her downstairs, let her out for a wee. She doesn't go out. She just looks outside and goes, thank you. And that's it. But yeah, so have a look and have a conversation would be the first thing I'd be doing and finding out why and what. We can't really pass judgment, make comments until we do have that conversation, I believe. Because, you know, not just that, it could be medication. It could be, is it something hereditary in the family? Who knows?
Yeah. Okay. Good start.
I've consulted Google and indeed vitamin C does affect sleep quality. So
vitamin C or vitamin D?
Vitamin D, sorry, Christ. Vitamin D does affect sleep quality. But yeah, I've got a bit on this. I've worked with a guy who had narcolepsy.
Mm-hmm. And is it, I mean, I'm going to sound very medically ignorant. Do they just...
He didn't. I mean, he didn't, but he took regular medication. And it was effectively like, it's like methamphetamine, isn't it? It's Adderall, things like that, which is...
Just gives you the... sort of the wide awake. Monster does the same thing.
Exactly. That's why I drink it. He was always, but he couldn't like concentrate right on things, obviously, because his brain were doing different things to most people, I think. But no, I'd never seen him conk out. In fact, he told me that he struggled to sleep because of medication.
I know an insomniac, or someone who has insomnia, rather than labelling them by their condition, so someone who has insomnia, and that sounds dreadful.
I could not. Even when I've got like, there's been nights where you have less sleep, obviously. If you go for like anything less than 3 hours sleep, I'm wigging the next day. I think like things are falling apart. Like I'm thinking people hate me.
And I think the impact on your health as well, like I think we don't appreciate how much sleep gives us. So I've become a Garmin addict since I started running.
Oh, yes.
And I had a week last week where I was away. My training regime was all over the place. My food changed, but my sleep did because I was on very, very long physical days. So I don't think my body battery came up above 20%.
Right.
My HRV has tanked.
What from?
And I think it's from lack of sleep.
Really?
Yeah.
But because at knackering days, you weren't wanting to sleep more, no?
No, it wasn't good sleep. So you're not at home, not in your own bed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And routine's disrupted. And I did sort of look into it last week. So I was like, well, no, I mean, I hate looking down when it's like training status strained. I was like, oh no, what have I done? And yeah, my HRV status just absolutely through the floor. So there we go. Anyway, tangent. Questions to ask HR, fire away, Ollie.
Every time. First one, how should managers handle employees who consistently fall asleep at work?
So for me, I take what Michelle says. But then also I think it can be sector specific with this one. So where I get this query quite a lot is in, for example, security or care sectors. So where you're paying somebody to stay awake because there's no one else around and it's for safety or security issues. That if you have someone sleeping on the job, yes, we want to establish medical situation, but that is potentially a disciplinary issue. And historically it's been quite a safe reason to dismiss. And then it was a month or two ago, maybe a bit longer, we might have covered this in one of the shorts that we've done. We had a situation where there was someone who was a night manager. Their job was to monitor security footage. They were caught having fallen asleep and they were dismissed and it was found to be an unsafe dismissal. And the tribunal in that situation went as far as to basically say, well, nothing happened.
Well, while he was asleep.
But right, the point is that person's being paid to stay awake. It's one of their core duties. So we'll link it to this and perhaps we'll do a blog on it as well because there's other things that went wrong in terms of the procedural stuff with that. But I think the message takeaway at this point is there is in some sectors that knee-jerk reaction. They've been sleeping on the job. That's automatically gross misconduct. They're heading for termination. And we need to make sure that we take on board what Michelle said at the beginning about, you know, what else is going on in life. What mitigation is there? Do we understand the situation properly? But then also making sure we go through a proper process and get to the bottom of, well, is it a performance thing or is it a disciplinary thing? And what investigation are we going to do? Because it's not just as clear cut as, well, this person was asleep, therefore consequence. We need to look at what else is going on.
Okay. Understood. Anything you want to add to that, Michelle?
Yeah, I think as well, we probably need to look at, is it the second job? I think a lot of the time, especially when they work through the night, we can find that actually, we're not checking if it's a second job and therefore they're going to be tired. And actually, we may be responsible for making sure that they fit within working time directives anyway. So that's another point.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, I've actually had that. We had a bus driver who worked all day on the buses and then came in at 8 o'clock, went in the first aid room, got his head down, worked until 10 o'clock, went back on his break, his lunch break, back into the first aid room, slept, and then came back and did the rest of his shift till 6 in the morning and then started his next shift at 8. And we didn't know that for a year. We didn't know it was going on because it was night shift. HR, should I say, didn't know. His line manager was aware, but didn't tell us. So was that his fault? Not really. We'd allowed it to happen for a year.
You don't know what his life's like either, do you? Like he might have loads of kids and...
And also from a welfare perspective, I mean, people who are doing night shifts, they're more likely to be working alone. Who's checking in on that person? You know, he could well have been coming into work looking absolutely wrecked.
Yeah.
And it's not being noticed. So just because someone is lone working doesn't mean that we wash our hands of our obligations towards them. Where we've got people who are lone working, particularly at night, in these sorts of situations, what is our plan for checking in on those people? Because really, we should be having a lone working policy. There should be that line management. Yeah. We shouldn't just be having people who are isolated, because it's important from a welfare perspective.
Absolutely. And, you know, if need be, get something drawn up in the contracts as well.
Mm-hmm.
And have they got enough to do?
Yeah.
So is it boredom that's making them sleep?
Yeah.
So are we advising them to have a wander around the premises every hour and a half or whatever, just like we would if we was driving for 8 hours?
Yeah.
We'd mm-hmm. stop, we'd go and get a coffee, we'd stretch our legs.
And also, I think how we route out if it is the second job situation. So we advise a number of seasonal businesses. In the seasons, it's very, very common, particularly in hospitality, for people to have a number of jobs. Most of the contracts I provide to my seasonal businesses is they have to declare it. At the beginning, it's a condition of the offer of employment that they declare what other roles they have. And if they're going to take on any more before they accept them, they have to tell them and what that shift pattern's going to be. So that if the employer thinks it's going to be too much, or actually it's going to impact their welfare, that they can veto it and say no. And you can have that contractual power to say, no, we are not going to allow you to work for anyone else while you're working for us.
Absolutely.
Provided they're not 0 hours workers, because we can't have exclusivity over those. It's only with employees. That's my only caveat.
I have slept at work before. Not at work for you.
Not my work.
No, no. But I have. Lunch hour, though.
Mm-hmm. That, see, that's different.
We're so, nap. You know what I mean? Half an hour.
If I haven't got a problem, if someone wants to put their head down in a break and have a bit of a sleep, you're on your own time if you're in a break.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
And to mandate what you're doing in your rest time...
crazy.
I'd say is over the top.
Yeah, I think so.
The red flag for me as an employer is this person okay? You know, if you're having to sleep in the day...
Oh, yeah, fair.
Why are you having to sleep at 1 o'clock on a Monday?
Just think of the way people used to look at me in the office. Yeah.
And also, I suppose, if you're in a business where you are open to the public, having someone with their head down on a desk isn't a particularly professional look. So
no.
Provided that you're, you know, not just like curled up in reception on a couch.
Oh, we had a special pod for it, please.
Well, there you go. That's absolutely, you we know, have, no, no issue and with that. I mean...
cuddle cushions.
We actually did, yeah. I like putting them, I sleep on my side a lot. This is big tangent. So I like a cushion in there, you know. Something like gaps up your knees.
It's good for your hip and your pelvis. I get hip pain, and sleeping with a cushion between your knees is a good way of winds up your bone structure.
That'll happen when you hammer your body with difficult...
I thought you were going to say when you something else then about age. So I'm glad that you went down a fitness angle rather than telling me
when
that...
you're old and knackered.
That's where I thought you were going.
No. I was going down like the, you put in loads of effort and stuff, so you're going to hurt more.
Is that just because I'm limping around today? Because I've done too much.
Second question. For the HR people in the room, which is mm-hmm. I've got two today, which is very good. Is this a health issue or a performance issue? Do employees have to make reasonable adjustments? And is this perhaps discrimination?
So health issues and performance issues kind of hand in hand when we look at a capability process.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say they're going to be kind of similar in how we're going to investigate. I'd say the wider question is actually, is it capability or is it disciplinary? So if with Dave, we have... told him this is an issue, we've done the supportive thing, we've got to the bottom of it, said we've set out our expectations and said, look, we are not having you sleeping at work. It is against company rules. You are being paid to stay awake. There's no, say if he says there's no medical stuff going on, nothing going on at home, and he continues to do it, that could very well be a disciplinary issue
mm-hmm.
rather than performance. So I'd say there's more work to be done before we put it in the relevant box, I would say, in this situation. If Dave has medical stuff going on, then there could be reasonable adjustments that we have to make.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be, you know, liaising with occupational health to say if he has some sort of condition that means that he is regularly tired, that either there's provision for him to take medication or for him to get up and walk around. So like Michelle said, making sure there's enough stimulation at work. Does that shift pattern work for him? Or actually, is there a facility where we can, in a break, give him somewhere to go and put his head down mm-hmm. if he wants to? Bearing in mind... they're reasonable adjustments. So say, for example, this is, rather than a large office business, a corner shop with Mr. Jones, who has two members of staff and he's running in his business overdraft. Do we expect him to rent the flat upstairs so one of his staff can put their head down? Probably not. It's not a reasonable adjustment.
No.
So taking into account what's reasonable within the size and resources of the business, but also bearing in mind if there is a medical issue, we're not doctors, making sure we're reaching out to occupational health to get to the bottom of it and to get their recommendations as well.
Understood.
What about you, Michelle? Anything you'd add to that?
No, I think that's probably everything covered.
Yeah. The more I listen to you two bang on about this sort of stuff, the more I realise it's more about like asking questions, and it's all very conditional on what people say back to you.
Yeah.
You've got to be really curious, haven't you?
You have to. You have to explore all our areas to fully understand it before you can make a decision, because our decisions affect people's lives.
Actually do, yeah. You spend most of your week at work, don't you?
Yeah.
Little things like, I would never think to ask someone if, I'd, like you said at the start, they've had a newborn baby. I would never think to ask someone that. But I don't know if that's...
I think that's just a generational thing. I think you'll get to a point where you'll see every tired person and you'll be like, I bet he's got a baby.
I've seen that look before.
But there are loads. I mean, the temperature of the place, that's one as well, isn't it? If you're going to be really warm, you're going to start nodding. If you're really cold and you're having to huddle up, same again, you could get sleepy.
Little things,
but there's lots and lots of different things that could be explored. But inevitably, if they're just tired and having a nap, then not acceptable.
And also, I think if it's a one-off, or if it's something that's routine, this looks like it's gone on for 2 or 3 years. Dave might think this is okay. If he's openly been doing it and no one has said anything for 3 years, can you imagine what that conversation's going to be like when they finally sit him down?
Been doing this for ages.
And he'll go, but I do it openly. Like, why has nobody said anything?
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be like, well, you've all been clearly talking about me for weeks on end.
He's got his pyjamas. Yeah.
It's that whole, well, where have you been this whole time? So are the rules visible? Why aren't we in a situation where we've got the confidence to have an informal chat with someone where you go, so Dave, I noticed...
A bit sleepy
at work. What's going on, mate? You know, why leave it this long and then suddenly be looking at a formal process? Aww. Think about his experience in this situation as well. He could be one of those people who is just taking the mick. Maybe he knows the rules and maybe he just doesn't care. And because he's got away with it for so long, he's got a little bit cocky about it. But again, without having those conversations and asking, we're not going to know, are we?
Yeah, you got to ask. That's 3 years, man. I'd be pretty shocked like if someone pulled me up for it after 3 years. I'm going to come to Michelle first on this one. What are the risks of ignoring repeated performance issues for the organisation?
Oh, loads of risks. So, morale. So other people seeing it and thinking that people are getting away with stuff. So morale of other people, people following suit, just doing exactly the same thing as what they're doing. I think as well, managers, they're not leading. So therefore, they're just accepting what's going on. So therefore, you know, they're not doing their job, and that can affect down the line the way that they're treating their employees. So yeah, lots of different reasons.
This is why I love having Michelle on these when we do, because my brain immediately goes to legal risk, where I go, well, because you haven't addressed performance issues, if you then try and dismiss, you've got a legal risk potentially for unfair dismissal. But there's so much that comes before that. I love that you immediately go to the cultural stuff, and actually morale is a huge one. Ineffective line managers again. So whilst I'm kind of like I'm here to sort of catch the fallout, I love how your brain automatically goes to, well, actually, we can stop this sort of thing from happening in the first place.
And it
shows the two sides of, I think, the difference between the HR and solicitors. Absolutely. And actually how well the two can work together.
Absolutely.
Is that you get in and it's that, you know, what is actually your culture? How are you operating and why are these things happening?
Yeah.
Rather than just cleaning up the mess at the end, which is what I am. I'm the cleaner. And having a company that's constantly firefighting, constantly clearing up messes, that's going to have an impact on morale.
Absolutely. I think I'm more of a think on your feet sort of person. Yeah. So this needs dealing with, and it needs dealing with now. So how am I going to do that? And then I go and I say, right, okay, how's this going to affect the team? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
So that's the way I view things.
Yeah.
So you, I think it does, it works great together.
Very different in the way you answer stuff. Like, you're not to say this is how you totally are. You go like, I feel like you go like people first, whereas you go like law first.
Yeah.
But not all the time.
I feel like you're saying Michelle's a nicer person.
I knew you'd say something like that back to me. But not all the time.
It's probably true. Lawyers aren't very nice people.
It's just a theme of things. Like, you go like the people involved, but you're like, protect with law. Yeah. You know?
Which is a safer option.
It is, yeah. But it's good to have both sides of it.
Yeah.
Effectively, you cover the whole situation between you. Employee questions now. First one, what's the best way to raise concerns if my manager is aware of an issue but hasn't taken action?
Go and speak to HR.
Straight away,
go and speak to HR. Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're going to be raising something, then, you know, you will be protected as well. So, yeah, HR or another manager even.
Someone senior you trust, isn't it? Because not every company has HR. we get it for companies that don't have HR and we're in place, they come to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had it as well where someone said, actually, I haven't raised this yet with my line manager, but I don't know how to do it without upsetting them or without causing an issue. And rather than us contacting the line manager for them, we'll actually help them with the comms.
Yeah.
And say, well, look, give me your email, let's have a look at it, and we'll see what we can do to help you make sure it lands. And then potentially ask them, do you want us to prime the manager?
Mm-hmm.
Let them know something's coming and this is how we suggest they approach it. So that you're kind of helping bring the two together rather than, you know, waiting for the fallout when something lands in an inbox.
Yeah, perfect.
But I would also say, how are they raising the concern? If it's verbal, pop an email over before you escalate. So you've got your paper trail as well to say, well, look, and I'd usually be saying in the email, look, I've spoken to you about this a couple of times. Here's an email just by way of reminder. I know you're really busy, but this is something that's really important to me. Can we have a chat, please, by the end of the week?
Mm-hmm.
So at least then you've managed to reference that you've had the conversations, that you haven't heard anything back. You're not criticizing, you're saying they're busy, but please, can we deal with this by this date? So then if you don't hear anything, you've got your legitimate kind of path forward then.
Yeah, to escalate.
Cover yourself.
Mm.
Last question as an employee. How can I protect myself from being overburdened by a co-worker's lack of productivity? Eck.
That's a really diplomatic way of saying, yeah, I'm sick of doing other people's work.
I'm sick of carrying the workload.
And not being paid for it.
Well, they have a nap.
You would be though, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You would be. That's how everyone felt when they saw me napping.
Go on, Michelle, you can kick off with this one if you want.
So, do you know, I was too busy laughing. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Tell you've settled into podcasting with us. Yeah.
It's relaxing. Great. I mean, my brain told me just don't look at them. Don't even look at the person that's been lazy, but I don't know.
What, socially isolate them, exclude them?
Yeah.
Sounds a bit like you need to go on a bullying course, mate.
Maybe, yeah. I've not done that one yet, I don't think. How can you protect yourself from being bothered by people being lazy? That's a difficult thing to do, isn't it?
That's a different question. What you're actually asking is, how do you prevent yourself from being overburdened? So that's boundaries. That's approaching your line manager and saying, okay, look, I appreciate that people have difficulties and that I am more than happy in my role to help support where I can. However, this is reaching the point where it now exceeds the boundaries of my role and it's going on for, I feel, too long, and it's going to start to impact my welfare. I would like to understand what the company's plan is to ensure that there is sufficient cover and that it's fairly picked up rather than just by me.
It is like a big part of working in a team, eh? If you're like, for example, if there's, I used to work on a support desk of like 16 people, and if one person weren't pulling their weight, or they'd done like, everyone else would get the back up about it.
Yeah. But then by allowing that situation where people's backs get up, I think that's a really poor culture way of making sure people perform, because you're worried that your colleague's going to have a go at you or that you're going to be isolated.
It's performance.
Because if they
pressure.
Leave you to it, you're almost like a little pack of animals where it's like tear apart the weakest one who doesn't pull their weight.
Weakest wolf at the back.
So fear keeps everybody working. I mean, you're like, I love this. You're like, yeah, that's my environment. No, that's not the way we do it.
You mean that your mouth's bad?
Yeah. Whereas you don't know if that person's got, say, a health issue and they get isolated as a result and they feel like they're being pushed out. That's discrimination.
Mm. I was going to make a joke, but it would have been
I'm going to put you down for the bullying training and the DE&I training. And we'll go from there.
I think it'd do me the world of good.
Then we'll throw you back into the pack of animals and see how you get
on. You wait if I get
What do you think, Michelle?
Yeah, I think you're right. Absolutely right. I think it's more a case of also maybe that person isn't aware of the fact that they're not pulling the weight. I mean, they probably are, but maybe they're not. So have a chat with them. If you're a team and you're a good team, you work together, then just have a coffee, have a chat. Are you struggling with anything?
Yeah.
I noticed that, you know, this got left.
Yeah.
I had to stay late to get it done and it's not really my job.
Yeah.
Is there anything I can support you with?
Mm.
Do you need any extra training, anything like that? Because you don't know. It could be that there's a lack of knowledge. It could be that someone's picking it up for them, so they're not bothered.
But also in the situation you described, maybe you've got someone who is having a problem, but they're too worried to go to the line manager themselves. It might be, look, mate, if you're struggling with something and you need to talk to the line manager or HR, do you want me to come with you?
Yeah.
Do you want a bit of moral support?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't want to go as far as to say, you know, because it's all very well to say, I think, do you want some support, but I'm also sick of picking up for you. It's almost like a contradiction, isn't it? Can I help you with anything other than your work?
Yeah.
Other than that,
sick of that,
I'll help you with anything else.
That's true.
Yeah, it might be, you know, do you want me to come with you to have a conversation with somebody about this? They may well be aware that they're underperforming and not doing, and they could be mortified.
Oh, they were aware, all right.
You know, and they might be someone who actually this really is bothering them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're in a spiral then. It's likely to impact their mental health. Even worse, they could potentially go off sick.
Mm-hmm.
And the situation then isn't going to improve because then you've got less team members, more work, someone else might fall behind, and you've then got a vicious circle where...
I'm not mad that they're not doing less work because they're not there.
So because you don't have to look at them anymore.
Yeah, I've been ridiculous. I'm being ridiculous, of course. Yeah.
I'd say let's come from a positive place and empathy. If you try that, if you try talking to them, escalate it. You know, it might be, if all the work's getting done within the pool, management might not care.
That's a good point, yeah.
So you make it their problem. This is what's going on.
Take it above the manager.
We've tried to resolve it informally, but we feel that actually it's an unreasonable burden on everybody else. Though I suppose the risk is if they realise the work can be done by less people, they might be going, oh, look, we can reduce our headcount and get more out of us.
Be one of them consultation things. Yeah. Well, the other week, won't we? Yeah, be one of them.
So I have seen that before.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it once where the company, it was an advice line and you emailed or you called and there was one person who just didn't like the call because they didn't like that in the moment question.
Yeah.
So they preferred to email. And then further down the line, you've got somebody who doesn't like to email.
Yeah.
They prefer the call. Mm. And both of them are struggling.
Yeah.
So just let one of them call, let one of them email.
Yeah, pair them up.
And it literally took a conversation between them two just to say, well, do you want to do my emails? Can I ping them over to you and I'll do all your calls?
Yeah.
And it worked from there.
Yeah.
We had that exact thing on the old desk. We had a lad in like level two support and a lad in the initial support team. The initial support lad didn't like taking calls.
Mm.
Was fine writing emails, but I'll say his name, Callum, he won't mind. Cal loved taking calls.
Am I going to get another legal letter?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, sure. He won't even watch this. He's so laid back, Cal. But he really liked, he spent hours on phones to clients, like making sure their workflows are right. He always got good Trustpilot reviews. So they just did that.
Yeah.
Like Cal just took calls all day.
I love calls. I'd do calls all day because I like to speak to clients.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed just to popping them an email, which sometimes is necessary and they haven't always got time to talk.
No.
So, but yeah, have the conversation and see whether we can swap the workload around.
Works better as well because people are working to its strengths.
Of course.
They are. Everyone's happy. Final sort of question to cover. What emergency measures can HR departments take to prevent these types of things happening in the future? We can obviously mention our disciplinary processes and such.
Yeah, but also being clear on what's a disciplinary offence and what isn't and what line managers need to do before they activate those escalated processes. So have, you know, almost a checklist. Have you had an informal conversation? Have you got to the bottom of what's going on and what the problem is here? Have you taken advice before we start doing something that's very, very difficult to take back?
Mm-hmm.
And just be aware that employment law changes. The boundaries do change. I would have said a year ago, if someone came to me and said, employee fell asleep at work, we'd be going, okay, gross misconduct, feel pretty comfortable with that. Whereas, you know, the case that we saw, the security guy that we were talking about, very, very clear. It was an unfair dismissal. Mm-hmm. So do make sure you're checking in with your advisors. So something that might have felt safe 6 months, a year ago, the tribunal mood and where we are may well have changed. So always check in with anything, particularly if you're not sure, is it performance, is it disciplinary, are we potentially going to dismiss? Make sure you take advice. But then also have Michelle's voice in your head. What is causing this? What do we need to get to the bottom of? Are there cultural things going on here that we can be sorting out?
Definitely. The more I speak to you two, the more I realise how unempathetic I truly am.
You'd be well suited to being a lawyer.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I reckon you're quite empathetic, though.
Oh, we're dead inside.
maybe you put it on for work. But Michelle's definitely empathetic. Definitely.
I am.
You're like, oh, what if this is happening? What about, like, yeah, very understanding.
With a balance.
Yeah. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different things off both of you, eh? But yeah, that was good fun, that. Nothing you two want to add at all. Nothing I want to add at all, really.
No, I think we're there.
Comment, subscribe. We'll see you next time. Cheers. Until next time, we're your hosts signing off from HRER. Take care of your HR and may your workplace be disaster-free. Before we go, a big thank you to you for tuning in and don't forget to subscribe. If you have your own ER stories or suggestions for future episodes, reach out to us at Heroes or on social media or even HRER@heroes.co.uk. As we navigate the maze of workplace blunders, remember that no organisation is perfect, but by sharing these stories, we can all work towards creating healthier, happier, and more productive workplaces.